Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. We're joined by Callum Summerton, CEO of Chill Brands. Welcome back, Callum.
Hi, Phil. Thank you.
So I guess news just out that the company plans to raise $3.5 million and a notice of a general meeting naturally to kind of vote that through. Do you want to talk us through the rationale behind what seems to be a lowball and heavily discounted placing, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that this is a bit of pill to swallow. It's a raise that at a level that no one would ideally ever want to even explore. But it's something that we absolutely had to do. It's a raise that gives the company sufficient funds to survive, also to thrive and do some of the things that we've talked about in the past as actually putting Chill on the map. But really, this was a case of, you know, raising funds to keep the company ticking along. If the company did not raise funds at this level and there really wasn't another option, we would be left with part of nothing rather than part of something.
It was kind of almost a make or break type scenario decision that you had to make that to keep the company sort of ticking along nicely and for you to come in, I guess, as new CEO to actually steer it in the right direction.
Yeah, completely. It's a very difficult situation to go out and raise money at this level. You know, part of the reason that we ended up at 2 pence rather than anywhere higher is the structure of the deal. So as part of our listing rules, we're only able to issue a certain number of shares within any given annual period. As a result of that, you know, we had to incorporate to get the money that the company needs, convertible loan notes, which will convert to equity at the point of the publication and approval of a prospectus. That complicating matters has ultimately led us to raising at a lower number than we would ever have liked to. And so really, that is why we're down in the doldrums. Yeah.
I mean, I guess from, you know, from someone looking at the stock and the historicals from that, you know, from the 5p to pound, and I know there was raises done, higher up there, but surely you must now be looking on thinking, why there was the decision not made to raise at the 89, you know, like a massive significant, because to me, it looks like you're issuing another 100% equity. So you're diluting by, you know, doubling the amount of shares outstanding for only £3.5 million. It seems like a heavily dilutory raise, this one.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think if there's one regret that my predecessors have, and I think they have many, is that they didn't raise at that higher level when it would have been much more palatable to our shareholders, far less diluted. They didn't. And that certainly would have been a better situation than we're in right now. But here we are. We've raised £3.5 million. It's a very, very difficult market at the moment, especially for cannabis companies trying to raise any capital in the US or the UK. And we're glad to actually now have the money for us to get through the next year, not just to get through it, but also to start putting some revenue on the books.
So you've raised or potentially raised, obviously, tentative pending the voting of resolutions at the GM, £3.5 million, including the company's existing largest shareholder, the Schrader family, and Dame Anne Gloag as in there. How significant is this that they obviously were willing to come on board again?
Yeah, so these are very sophisticated, patient, long-term investors. Bar none, they've all been involved in this share for a long time. And I know that a lot of other people have and that other people are hurting. But these are people who don't sell. Many times they're averaging down, having bought from somewhere, you know, up close to £1, and they've been let down badly by the company, as all shareholders have. But it is very significant that they see that there is something here. There's a real opportunity down at this level for us to, you know, continue growing, for us to put in the hard work that's needed for this company to actually deliver on anything it says to its investors. And I think that, you know, we're very grateful to them for ultimately taking us out of a very tight spot.
Yeah, I mean, as a significant shareholder myself, Callum, I'm extremely disappointed about the 2 pence, never mind 3 pence or 4 pence or whatever it happens to be in terms of the share price. But I think at the same time, I fully understand. I mean, there are things to be paid for, obviously, and the cash just is not there or was not there. So just clear up what happens after the GM in terms of the finances and how will those finances be used in the short term?
Yeah, absolutely. And Kevin, I'd like to apologize to you as well for the situation we're in as a major shareholder. You know, in terms of the way that we're going to spend the money coming out of this and how we're going to turn this company around. Well, the first thing is something that a lot of our shareholders I don't think appreciated, which is that the domain itself, chill.com, has not fully been settled. That is number one on the hit list of things to do with the funds. What I intend to do as well, as soon as we've purchased that domain in full, is engage in a full valuation exercise to ensure that we have a true market value and we know exactly what it's worth. I think that's going to be an important number for the market to be able to hang its hat against. But elsewhere in the business, we're going to be supporting the stores that we're going into. We're going to be engaging in digital and traditional marketing campaigns to get the name out there. And we're also going to be exploring new ways, as I mentioned on the previous podcast, to commercialize our website. And that involves new, exciting brand collaborations that we're talking about already.
On the 12th or 13th of May, I think it is, you have the GM. And assuming all resolutions are passed, then the money is then released, yes, all of the loan note. It will not convert to equity until such times as a prospectus comes out, but the cash will be in the company. Is that correct?
That is correct.
What do you think has happened over the last 12 months in terms of the realization of the previous CEOs that this just wasn't working? What has happened? Because I know you came on as like a consultant, as you know, to see what was going on and so on and so forth. So I expect that you've had a bird's eye view of this whole thing as well in terms of what's been happening.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Kevin. I think, you know, there's a couple of things that have gone wrong in the world of Chill. The most significant has been the way that we've approached our retail bricks and mortar deals. So we've signed on with these companies. We've expected for their reps to go out and manage it and it to be pretty much a turnkey solution. That simply hasn't been the case. And I think also, you know, back when the likes of the ATAC deal and others were being signed, I don't believe there was an understanding in the business of exactly what effort, time, money it was going to take to make those stores a success. In the stores that we're paying our full attention to, we're seeing very encouraging sell-through rates. We're seeing great consumer reviews and we're seeing continuous orders. But elsewhere, you know, it can cost as much as, you know, $1,000 just to enter a store. And when you try to scale that outwards to the 10,000 or more that the guys were talking about in the past, you get to a very significant number very quickly that Chill simply couldn't finance. I think that has been ultimately the downfall here, the huge expectation of massive scaling that they couldn't live up to. And really, I think that it has just been a case of missed expectations.
If we were in 1,000 stores with the current sell-through rates and we're actually looking after those customers, is that a viable business?
That is a viable business. You know, that there are costs associated with running a PLC that you wouldn't expect elsewhere in a private business. That is very expensive, but absolutely it's a viable business. And if you can get yourself consistently selling product in 1,000 stores, then you're onto something that is very definitely scalable and something that a lot of distributors, but also major brands, the likes of some of the US's largest convenience store chains would like to pick up. Because if you can get that sell-through rate up, you've proven yourself.
How far are we away from achieving that, do you believe?
Well, I think for 1,000 stores, we're some way away. I think we're pretty much getting there now for 500 stores. I think we have a reliable core of those stores where our focus and our resources have been allocated. And I think if we can get those delivering consistently and be able to communicate that to the market, then we'll be in a much better position to then go out and do the same again with another 500 and continue that way. It's going to be incremental progress. This is certainly going to be slower than anyone would have imagined 12 months ago. But I think that there are glimmers of hope in the stores that have been given the proper attention.
So if nothing else, this proves you have a product in Chill. And ultimately, people will buy this product if it's presented to them in the right way.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there are a lot of cannabis and THC, CBD, CBN businesses out there in the market today that are ultimately struggling. Chill has been one of those, and it will be for a while until we can turn this ship around. But what Chill does have is a brand that is accessible and engaging to consumers who don't want something seedy. It also has differentiated products. We sell arguably one of the world's only CBD-infused herbal cigarettes as opposed to a hemp cigarette. And there are ultimately many other product categories that we are already looking into that we can switch on very cheaply should we need to. So we are differentiated, unlike many of our competitors. And I think as long as that can continue, as long as we can execute on the promises we're making to the market, then we will have a viable business and we will have sales numbers to back it up.
Just give us a bit of background about Viridian. I mean, Viridian, yes, major powerhouse in marketing, you know, yada, yada, yada. But actually, we've done a deal with them, but we still have to pay them to do what they're going to do on an ongoing basis, I assume. It's not like they're suddenly doing it for free because we've given them part of the company in the past. So, you know, I think people had major expectations about these. So I want you to bring that to reality, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's worth saying right off the bat that Viridian, albeit in warrants, have been majorly diluted by this raise as well. Viridian are a US operator. They're very, very talented, very, very well connected in the US cannabis industry. But what anybody who's visited our OTC page will see is that there's not a great deal of volume for Chill as an F stock on the OTC market. You know, that's made it very difficult for us to gain traction with US investors. And I think there's still a case to be made there for us in partnership with Viridian to really get the name out there to US investors as well as to consumers. I understand that obviously the relationship doesn't necessarily appear to have borne fruit at this stage. And we have recourse to our long-term UK holders to raise the funds that we've ultimately needed here. But I think going forward and in future, Chill is a brand that has aspirations to come out the other side of this CBD market consolidation with some success. And I think it's at that point that we'll start to see US investment interest.
I mean, I don't think there's much else to say other than it's a breath of fresh air that we're actually getting communication with Chill through yourself, Callum. So this is a real positive. But leave us with what you hope is going to happen over the next number of months within the Chill situation.
I think just to sum it up, this raise is a bitter pill to swallow. It's not something that people have ever looked for, and it's not something that is going to excite a lot of people. But at the same time, it gives Chill the funds it needs to survive and also to put the money that is needed into the projects that we've been talking about for so long to actually execute on them for once, rather than to simply spell out to the market that we've signed a big name deal. So I think, you know, in the next couple of months, in the next 90 days, what you can expect to see is strategy on our retail and some data on our retail. I can't promise that that's going to be a consistent sell-through rate, but it will be an indication of the fact that consumers do like and enjoy our product. On digital, it's going to be the settlement of the chill.com domain and work on that domain to make it the best CBD or wider functional products marketplace anywhere in the category. That is what we're aiming for. And I think on a wider level as well, the communication isn't going to stop, Kevin. That is what is so important in this. And in situations like the one that we're facing right now, with a very difficult raise having just been completed, communication is all that matters with our investors.
Callum Summerton, CEO of Chill Brands, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, guys, for the time. Appreciate it.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.